With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Presented by Carbox Hopadillo IPA. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
Are you guys enjoying the season? 713-572-4610.
That was the worst tease of all time. Rest in peace to Mike Meltzer. He's not dead. No. He's doing well.
Meltzer had a really solid take, to borrow his term, yesterday about the Rockets.
I guess.
Yeah.
But who cares, really? Yeah. It is Football Friday here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610.
Happiest man in Houston is James Harden, but let's move on to the Texans. Put it that way.
I was thinking about Eric Gordon in the shower last night.
Yeah, well.
Here's Bill O'Brien talking about Deshaun Watson and what he thought of Deshaun yesterday in the Texans' loss.
I thought Deshaun played well. He played hard. He played tough. You know, he kept fighting, and he brought us – he got us back in the game there at the end. You know, it was too late, but – yeah, there's a lot of things to fix. It's one game.
Hold on. Y'all didn't get back in the game unless you were gambling, okay? It was a 9.5-point spread. Can you quit saying they got back in the game? It wasn't a game. All right.
One game, and we have to improve very quickly, but it is just one game.
They didn't get back in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Did he bet on this? I'm serious. That's the third time he has said that. Y'all didn't get back in the game. You might have made it look a little more respectable, but you didn't get back in the game unless you bet on it.
After the first series.
Did he have a teaser?
After he teased it down 6 points, 2 points, whatever.
Y'all did not get back in the game.
No, they didn't.
What is this?
You knew what the outcome was going to be one series into the second half.
What is he talking about?
Yeah.
Really, what's he talking about?
And look, to be fair, not to bash him too much here, because I'm sure, given what we saw last night, there's going to be plenty of time for bashing with this offense, unless things change drastically. He's just using his crutches. I mean, he's just using his verbal crutches. Yeah, we got back in the game.
No, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
You really didn't. Here's the man himself, Deshaun Watson. Bill O'Brien, you heard his assessment of Deshaun Watson. How about a personal assessment from the quarterback of your Houston Texans?
Yeah, I mean, I was sharp. You know, I took what the defense gave me. They took away a lot of the deep shots and try to give my guys, you know, some opportunities to make plays, and you know, and I did what I needed to do to try to, you know, stay as close as possible and keep this team in the lead and reach to, you know, try to win the game.
By the way, quick aside, we don't need a preseason, do we? Pretty sharp game last night.
Penalties were low.
Yeah, pretty sharp, pretty hard hitting. They both looked ready. I understand that you would have probably liked to have use some of these new players a little bit in the preseason, but every team's had new players. I mean, certainly Kansas City was a little more off the shelf ready than most, but we don't need a preseason in the NFL. They need to figure out another way to kind of make up that local revenue, because the NFL owners are not going to give that up. Maybe a spring league, as I've said for years, but I like the anticipation of the unveiling, you know, the unveiling of the Texans and Chiefs in the NFL season. That was exciting.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire didn't need a preseason. Ooh, usually they say rookies
great
need
point.
Him. We were talking about Clyde Edwards-Helaire a lot. Some people thought too much. There's a reason.
Mm-hmm.
He's good. There's a reason they took him in the first round, and there's a reason that we thought he was going to be the key for the Kansas City Chiefs. 25 carries, 138 yards. J.J. Watts, he had a front row seat of those 138 yards. Here's number 99 talking about CEH.
Give them credit. Obviously, they're a great football team, and they played better than we did today, but those are the things we have to do. The simple act of putting yourself in better positions on third down by stopping the run and then getting off the field once you are on third down. Sounds very simple, but we have to execute that better.
Yeah, the defense is going to be an issue. You're more concerned about the defense because you think it's not going to be good.
I have no hope for them.
No hope. I have hope for the offense.
I have hope for the offense to outscore opposing teams. I have no hope for the defense.
Because of Deshaun. But I'm actually more discouraged by just the personnel that surrounds Deshaun. You know, if it's all about Deshaun and you go as far as Deshaun takes you, you didn't do a good job surrounding him. You didn't do a good job keeping DeAndre Hopkins. Okay, that ship has sailed. You didn't do a good enough job bringing in guys that are proven, exciting, explosive playmakers. Yes, Will Fuller can make a big play. What I'm talking about is on a consistent basis making plays that move the chains, getting their feet tapped on the ground. The running game, I feel like we're all accurately patting David Johnson on the top of his helmet and saying good job, good effort. But I don't think it's not like he ran for a buck 50. I mean, he had 77 yards, a couple of nice runs. Are we grading on a scale all of a sudden, on a curve?
Maybe.
You know?
I mean, the other thing is Duke Johnson got hurt yesterday, and we talked about this. This is why I wanted them to draft a running back. I wanted a running back drafted, just like the Chiefs drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire, just like the team you're going to face next week, the Baltimore Ravens drafted J.K. Dobbins. I wanted them to draft a running back. Now you're in a situation where who is it going to be, C.J. Proceis?
Yeah. I mean,
or Buddy Howell.
They've got him. Well, remember, I was questioning why they only kept three in the first place. And then they got Proceis into the practice squad.
Okay, so we got to look out for that. If Duke's knees hurt, then you're going to be in a tough spot against Baltimore. But again, it all goes back to the defense. Baltimore, number one rushing offense in the NFL last year. Here is Justin Reed talking about that performance last night and how exactly that's going to look against Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens at NRG next Sunday.
I don't think we need to do a whole lot. I just think that it comes down to being more technical with our techniques and just being more physical up front in the secondary on all ends of the spectrum to really fill those gaps. I don't think that we're far off from it. I think that it's just the first game. We're just going to have to be better next week.
What?
Yeah, well,
we don't need to do a whole lot.
You will have to be better next week. That much is true. You do have to be better. Look, I hear you on the defense, man, especially on the defensive line. This is not anything that's a
this
surprise.
Isn't reactive.
This isn't a surprise.
This was my theme of the offseason. The defense didn't get enough attention. The offense has to be amazing for this team to be good. This isn't like some sort of overreaction. This is a forecast, and the rain came down.
Yeah.
That's really cutting dry with this defense.
You're 100% right. We expected it, and it happened, and that's the bad thing. You know, our friend Cody Stutes was actually talking about some of these running teams that they're going to face. It's like nine times they're going to face big-time running games. We talked about the Titans and the Colts, and we talked about the Ravens, but the Steelers have James Conner. I mean, the Vikings with Cook, you know, Dalvin Cook. The Browns have
Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt.
Patriots, I mean, you got Cam.
And you know the Patriots running game. They got a lot of backs.
Yeah. So it's – nobody's gonna make any big-time proclamations about the season because they can certainly turn things around, and they have Deshaun Watson. But it's going to be tough on the defensive side all year long.
Going around the NFL here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew, you're on In the Loop on Football Friday. Go ahead, my friend.
Hey, I was just wondering why John Lopez is kind of hitting on David Johnson when he had 77 yards on 11 carries, and that's like 7 yards a carry.
No, it is. It is.
And it's like, I mean, he can't do much more than that if the passing offense is just falling way behind.
No, what I said was I did give him credit. What I said is are we grading on a curve? Because, you know, Sonny Michel, you just said that. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, in his first game ever in the NFL, ran for 148 yards with those weapons around him. So I'm saying, are we grading on a curve that because without even those types of weapons around him, he got 77 yards, and it's not like we should throw him a parade. I'm giving him credit.
I don't think we should throw him a parade, but I think if he had 20 carries, he would have at least 100-some yards based off the average. But
I would have loved to have seen it.
I'm with you, Matthew.
I would have loved to have seen it.
I thought David Johnson looked good.
He was good. I never said he didn't look good.
If you're asking me here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610, Football Friday presented by Carbach, the greatness that is Hoppadoa. If you're asking me to say the things that I'm encouraged by yesterday, tell me if
David Johnson would be one.
David Johnson would be one.
Yeah.
Jordan Akins would be one. I think Jordan Akins can be a big part of this offense and maybe an even bigger part of this offense.
Yeah.
After that, crickets.
Maybe
crickets.
Will Fuller. Maybe.
That was a big drop on that first series.
It was a big drop.
I mean, they were looking to set the tone. Will was okay.
Yeah, he was okay.
He wasn't great. 10 targets, by the way.
Yeah, like I
said. DeAndre Hopkins had 14 and 12 against KC last year. But, you know, you don't want to rely on one guy.
Yeah, you want to spread it around.
You know, Nuke Hopkins has 14, 12. And the gap in week six last year when they faced the Chiefs was actually lower from most targets, which was Hopkins to second most.
Yeah.
But, you know, you want to spread it around. Will Fuller, 10 targets, it's okay. Nuke got 12 last year.
They didn't exactly spread it around. Well, and the other thing is Randall Cobb was just a huge disaster.
He's not good.
He's a huge.
He's not worth $18 million up front. He's okay.
Dude.
If you sign like the Cowboys did last year, if you sign Randall Cobb to a 1-year $5 million deal, good job. Mm-hmm. That is a good job. But $18 million up front, they just did that in spite of Kiki QT. That was not a good decision. When it comes to spending money wisely, especially with all the stuff you need on defense and everything like that, Randall Cobb, $18 million. That was Bill Barnwell said that was the worst contract of the offseason. And if you look at what receivers were going for, That made no sense.
He's not far off.
And if you watched him yesterday, Seth said he was watching him. He just doesn't look very athletic. He doesn't look ready to go. I thought a kid won a contest to go out there and link arms with his favorite players when I was looking at him out there. He's shorter than everybody else.
Be a Texan for a day.
I was like, man, congratulations to that kid. I'm glad that they. And I look at number 18, Randall Cobb. Okay,
yeah,
a kid didn't win a contest. 713-572-4610. Hector, you're on In the Loop Football Friday. Go ahead.
Hey, Landry, has anybody told you your voice sounds different on radio.com than it does on the radio?
Really? How's it sound? Does it sound deeper? Does it sound more high-pitched? What's going on?
It sounds more clear on radio.com.
Oh, wow. Oh, no.
That's why you use that app, baby.
That's right.
I love it. Hey, well, three strikes for yesterday. I mean, you can see it on the screen. Everybody saw it. J.J. Watt's done. He's going to finish this year. Go to Pittsburgh at the end of the year. And Watson, I think he's just going to waive his contract one of these years whenever Matty Ice.
Yeah.
He said, JJ, you broke up a little bit, Hector. We love you, man. Thank you very much for listening to that radio.com app for real. Appreciate you, Hector.
I used it yesterday to rewind. I wasn't here yesterday, and I wanted to see what you guys were saying. It's a great, you can rewind up to 24 hours after the show ends.
He brings up JJ, though, and I appreciate that, Hector, because that's a good angle. If the Texans continue to go like this, and let's say it doesn't go well, JJ Watt next year, $16 million not guaranteed.
Gone.
Does he go up there and say, hey, I want to be traded or let me go or release me so that I can figure something else out?
Yes, he does. And the reason is that, you know, we keep going back to this. You're not going to be in the AFC Championship game based on one game reviews, right? Based on yesterday, you're not in the same ballpark as Kansas City. You're not in the same ballpark as the Baltimore Ravens. We'll find out for sure next weekend. But you got a long way to go, a long, long way to go. Why would JJ want to stay, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe another year with Bill O'Brien?
Got to chase that bling.
Yeah.
Got to chase that bling. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Football Friday, presented by Carbach, the greatness of Hoppadillo. Let's go around the league. I'm going to give you some nobodies talking about every single game in the NFL. John Lopez also has his picks. Let's get rich next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610, presented by Carbox Hoppadillo IPA. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
All right, Texans lose Football Friday, but there are other games going on this weekend. Week one in the NFL. I'm going to go through the matchups. I'm going to give you some nobody's talking about. John Lopez is going to pick the winner.
All right, so I got it. I got you covered.
I got nobody talking about duty. You got winner duty. We're going to start with Colts at Jags.
Nobody's talking about guys.
Nobody's talking about DJ Chark. I know that the Jags aren't trying to win. DJ Chark last year, over 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns. I think this is a guy that can actually win you some fantasy leagues. I think with where he's going, with his average draft position, ADP. I think DJ Chark is destined to have a lot of production this year. I also think there's going to be a lot of mop-up duty for him. So nobody's talking about DJ Chark enough. Who do you like as far as winning the game? Colts at Jags. Jags going to shock the world.
No. Colts win 34-20. Hell, I'll give you the scores on all these games.
Okay.
I got the crystal ball out, man.
All right. Monday Night Football, final game of week one. You'll hear it right here on Sports Radio 610. Tennessee at Denver.
Nobody's talking about Guy.
People aren't talking enough about Tennessee's receivers. I think we're focused so much on Derrick Henry, the run game, Ryan Tannehill. Mm-hmm. But A.J. Brown was a very, very good rookie last year. I think he's destined to become the best receiver in the division. Adam Humphries, they paid a lot of money for him to be their slot receiver coming out of Tampa Bay. And Corey Davis is in a contract year for the Tennessee Titans. And, oh, by the way, Jonnu Smith, he's a guy that's a very athletic tight end that I think we need to keep an eye on. I know Derrick Henry's Derrick Henry. I know Jadeveon Clowney was just added that defense, but I don't think enough people are talking about Tennessee's receivers.
I got Tennessee in a very close defensive-minded game, 20-17, going to Denver and beating those Broncos.
Cleveland at Baltimore.
Nobody's talking about Guy.
All right, now we know the Ravens were one of the best teams in the league last year. We know that they added J.K. Dobbins, the running back out of Ohio State, to an already elite rushing attack. But another guy they added that I think that we need to make note of is Devin Duvernay out of Texas. He's a slot receiver. He can line up in the backfield. He's gonna be there, the easy outlet for Lamar Jackson. You already have Mark Andrews and Hollywood Brown. I think Devin Duvernay out of Texas, the second-round pick who John Harbaugh was extremely excited to have, I think this is going to add another element to the Ravens. And while J.K. Dobbins, I expect big things from him, I think Devin Duvernay is what might make Baltimore even more scary this year than they were last year. And, oh, by the way, they'll be in town in 9 days.
The Ravens are going to win. They're going to win 40-38, though. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think the Browns are on to something this year, and that's a tease, my man, for the next segment when I give you some of my picks for the division.
Pittsburgh at the New York Giants.
Nobody's talking about Guy.
Jason Garrett's calling plays for the Giants.
No, now, that's good.
Why is that significant? Because Jason Garrett has not called plays for almost a half decade. Scott Linehan was calling plays at one point. They brought in Kellen Moore. Jason Garrett, for the first time in a long time, is going to be calling plays for the Giants. He likes to run the rock. He's probably going to try to get the most out of Daniel Jones. But Jason Garrett has called some pretty good offenses in the past. Jason Garrett calling plays for the Giants, something to keep an eye on. Who wins?
That's a really good point, but he just talk about not having the horses. I think Big Ben's going to come out slinging it. 30-20 Steelers.
Miami at New England.
Nobody's talking about that.
Upset special?
I don't even know if it would be an upset at this point. A lot of people are pretty high on the Miami Dolphins. People aren't talking enough about. We know Cam Newton. We know about all the guys that opted out for the Patriots. They have to replace four starting linebackers.
Yeah.
You run a 3-4 defense, and you got to replace four starting linebackers. Bill Belichick, we know he's the best defensive mind of all time, but goodness. Four starting linebackers have to be replaced by the New England Patriots. I think we assume that the defense is going to be good. It's a hell of a lot of work for the hoodie.
I'm not quite buying the Dolphins like everybody else is. I got to see it, and I don't think I'm going to see it this week. 28-20 Patriots.
So you got the Pats.
Yeah.
Okay. Take that, Peter King. Going around the league here on In the Loop, Sports Radio 610 on a Football Friday. Jets at Bills.
Nobody's talking about Guy.
We really aren't talking enough about Josh Allen.
Josh Allen is
a guy who I think a lot of people are writing off way too soon.
Thank you.
Josh Allen has the most rushing touchdowns for a quarterback. He's got all the arm strength. And it almost just seems like because he lost a playoff game last year that all of a sudden people are just acting like Josh Allen is just a chump. I'm not ready to punt on Josh Allen. I'm not ready to join that crowd. I think Josh Allen, I think they have a championship roster. And it wouldn't shock me if Josh Allen had a year, not like Lamar Jackson last year,
yeah,
but he takes a significant next step to where people aren't doubting him this time next season.
I totally agree. Not only do I think he's going to finally be appreciated. I think he's going to have a big year. Third most rushing yards of any quarterback in the NFL. More than Deshaun Watson, by the way. 34-20 Bills.
Raiders at Panthers.
Nobody's talking about Guy.
Christian McCaffrey's been used more than most running backs in the NFL the last few years, but that was on his rookie deal. Mm-hmm. Matt Rhule is a former Baylor coach. He's a first-year coach at Carolina. I don't know that Christian McCaffrey's going to be used as much, especially around the goal line, because he just got paid, and he is now their asset. It's now in their best interest for Christian McCaffrey to stay healthy. They need Christian McCaffrey to be fresh, not just this year, but a few years moving forward. So I actually think the workload for Christian McCaffrey decreases significantly, specifically around the goal line where he used to be the no-brainer that would get the rock there all the time.
Couldn't disagree more on that one, my man. I think they're going to run him, throw to him, use him any possible way they can. What do they care? They're not going to give him another contract. You paid him that money, just ride him like a horse, and they are. 19-16, kind of an ugly game to start Matt Rhule's career.
So you got the Panthers winning
Panthers.
Or the Raiders? Okay, so Las Vegas loses their first game. Chargers at Bengals.
Nobody's talking about Guy.
Bengals were competitive last year. They're actually a very competitive football team. They got a lot of beef on their defense. DJ Reader is there. He joins Geno Atkins. Mm-hmm. They got a lot of beef up there. They're going to be a very good team against the run. And also A.J. Green. I feel like A.J. Green not too long ago was regarded as one of those 5-10 best receivers in the NFL. For whatever reason, people have wrote off A.J. Green. I think A.J. Green is going to reestablish himself as a Pro Bowl quality receiver, and I don't think enough people are paying attention to him, and they've written him off dead.
Joe Burrow has gotten the probably second or third most run among NFL insiders about having a big breakout year. Number one would have been Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Number two would have been Jonathan Taylor from Indianapolis, the running back. They're raving about Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. Just because they're not good doesn't mean he's not going to have a good year. I think they opened with a bang, 35-27 Bengals.
Bucks at Saints, one of the most intriguing games of the year. Brady versus Breeze.
Nobody's talking about Guy.
Tampa Bay's defense was number one in the league last year against the run. They were one of the best defenses in the league. And the offense, because Jameis Winston was turning the ball over so much, just wasn't getting the job done. They add Leonard Fournette. They add LeSean McCoy. They add Tom Brady. They add Rob Gronkowski. They already had two of the best receivers in the league in Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. So the excitement about their offense is valid, but I don't think people forget that was actually a championship-quality defense last year. They're very good. People aren't talking enough about Tampa Bay's defense.
Tom Brady doesn't lose games like this. All the attention, all the big games, he always shows up. He gets it done. 28-24, they go into New Orleans and get the win.
Arizona at San Francisco.
Nobody's talking about Guy.
People aren't talking enough about Kenyon Drake, who basically ran David Johnson out of town. They gave him that tender this year. He's going to make about $9 million. I know Kenyon Drake upsets a lot of fantasy people because he was such a flop last year before you probably dropped him and picked him back up when he went to the Cardinals. But not enough people are talking about just how good Kenyon Drake is and how good he fits into what Cliff Kingsbury does.
I'm telling you, I'm not going to go full Ocho here, but I do think the Cardinals are going to be pretty good, and I think they're going to win this game at San Francisco. If they can play in San Francisco, basically the city's burning, and they might actually have to move that game to Arizona, probably find out here in the next couple of hours, but I do think the Cardinals win.
Seattle at Atlanta.
Nobody's talking about Guy.
Calvin Ridley. I know Julio Jones is one of the best in the game. Calvin Ridley is destined to become one of the best receivers in the game. Just like Chris Godwin broke out last year opposite of Mike Evans, I think Calvin Ridley's going to do that. And Hayden Hurst from Baltimore, who Atlanta traded for, Matt Ryan loves those tight ends. I think we're going to have a very, very good season from Matt Ryan. And I think Calvin Ridley has a breakout similar to what Chris Godwin had last year in Tampa Bay.
So far, I've been just making picks, right? I'm making a gambling pick now for our lovely listeners. Bet on the Falcons. The Falcons will win this game outright. Outright. I think they're going to have a good year.
Cowboys at Rams, Sunday Night Football. You'll hear that right here on Sports Radio 610.
Nobody's talking about Guy.
Cowboys defense. I know the defense wasn't good last year. Leighton Vander Esch was hurt. They added a lot of guys in the front seven. Everson Griffin, Don Terry Poe. Alden Smith. They've added a lot of bodies, and they had a hell of a draft outside of even C.D. Lamb. C.D. Lamb was added to that offense. This Cowboys defense, I'm telling you, with Jalen Smith, Van Der Esch back, DeMarcus Lawrence ready to go, and Cowboys defense is going to be good, and I hate to say it. We're going to make our Super Bowl picks in Friday Future Tripping. They might be making a cameo.
It's a mismatch. Dak's going to do – you talk about the defense, I'm going to talk about Dak. I think he's going to get it done and show Skip Bayless a thing or two. Cowboys win.
Packers at Vikings.
Nobody's talking about Guy.
Gary Kubiak.
Yep.
Gary Kubiak. We know that Stephon Diggs is not with the Vikings, but the Vikings, they've paid a lot of attention to their defense. They brought in Yannick Ngakoue. Danielle Hunter is going to be back, likely against the Texans in week four. Vikings, Mike Zimmer's a defensive guy. Gary Kubiak's calling plays in Minnesota. Not enough people talking about that. One of the best offensive minds in recent history calling plays for the Vikes.
You can't say enough about how Gary Kubiak calls an offense. He's been doing it for 25 years or whatever. I'm with you. I think the Vikings win this 38-30.
Eagles at Washington.
Nobody's
football
talking
team
about Guy.
Caught myself there. Almost said the R word. Really, who really cares about the Washington?
17-13 Eagles. Blah blah, blah blah blah
blah blah blah. Bears Lions. Does that do anything for you?
No. Moving on. I'm not even going to pick it.
There we go.
It's not worthy of my pick.
Strip balls.
It's not football. Worthy of my pick.
Strip balls. Football Friday here on Sports Radio 610. Texans lose. Reason for optimism and why Bill O'Brien might have the Ravens exactly where he wants them next.
From the Twin Peaks studio, it's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Presented by Carbox Hopadillo IPA. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
All right, 713-572-4610. We're about to trip balls heading into a full slate of football.
About to what?
We got college on Saturday. We got pros on Sunday. Yesterday's Texans game, so frustrating, John McClain even bailed. John McClain yesterday on the Zoom, guy who's been an ultimate professional for 4.5 decades, didn't even want to ask Bill O'Brien a question yesterday. He was so freaking disgusted.
That was a big drive in the game.
John McClain? John McClain?
He pulled out of the Zoom. He said he's done.
Aaron Wilson?
Done.
Done.
He's had enough with you, Bill O'Brien.
Finished. But I got some good news for John McClain.
Yeah?
Or do I? The Texans might have the Ravens right where they want them. And I'm being 100% serious about this because this would be the most Bill O'Brien thing ever for the Texans next Sunday to come out and beat Baltimore. Mm-hmm. I'll give you an example. Last year, worst loss that you could imagine. Texans versus Denver Broncos. I called it the Tennessee tune-up.
Yeah.
That's what I called it. That was the you suck too mother effer game where Bill O'Brien cussed out the fan. It was damn near a 5-possession game at halftime. They lost that game 38-24.
What did they do the next week?
They went to Tennessee and they won. They went to Tennessee, they won.
That
they
was
took control.
Justin Reed game, wasn't it?
Of the division. It was a Justin Reed forcing the ball into Whitney Merciless's hands. Texans taking a 14-0 lead because of 2 touchdowns off of Kenny Stills. Texans might have the Ravens right where they want them right now. Are you buying that?
No, I'm not. I mean, I think it's a strong point. I want to say they're. You would know off the top of your head. I can't remember.
Of course.
The Chiefs win came after a loss, didn't it?
No, it came after the Atlanta win. They actually started rolling. They lost
that's
to Carolina.
That's right, that's right, that's right.
But, okay. but 2 weeks before that, they did lose to Carolina. They lost to Carolina, then they beat the crap out of Atlanta, and then they beat Kansas City.
Right. Yeah, so no, it is kind of his modus operandi, as they say.
Whoa.
But
that's a hell of a word there.
But I feel like the what I saw yesterday isn't going to get it done against the Ravens.
Yeah.
Unless it's a huge turnaround.
The problem is, the other problem that I think there is I think the Texans' defensive personnel is worse than it was last season.
Yeah.
I think it's worse. I think the Chiefs' offensive personnel is better. You saw that yesterday with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And I think the Ravens' offensive personnel is actually better, too, because you've added J.K. Dobbins and you've added Devin Duvernay. And, oh, by the way, Hollywood Brown is healthy. So I could see exactly what you're saying there. It just would be very Bill O'Brien for them to go out and beat the Ravens. 713-572-4610. Let's go out to Cody in Bel Air. Cody, how you doing?
I'm doing better than the Texans are today. I do want to start with a couple of, you know, deep steel or battle red buddies. Two guys that actually did pretty good. David Johnson and P.J. Hall. I had no idea P.J. Hall was this good. He bounced around. You know, they was out of shape. He was in shape, whatever. You know, so P.J. Hall looked pretty nice. Like, maybe he could help stop the run if he could get on the field for more than, I don't know, 10 snaps or whatever. Now I'll make the rest of this quick, like a Chris Jones pass rush against Zach Fulton. The only thing less creative than Tim Kelly's offense after that first touchdown drive was naming your fantasy team the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. It's a shame that Whitney Mercilus opted out of the 2020 season. It's also a shame that nobody went and got Randall Cobb out of the locker room after the national anthem until the fourth quarter. A.J. Moore's a captain, but I want to see A.J. less on defense, okay? There are just so many bad things that even the good things, my Battle Red buddies P.J. Hall and David Johnson couldn't even make me feel better. Hopefully the Ravens game won't be as bad, but I think we know how that's going to go.
Oh, man. I kind of like the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
As a name. Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah.
Shout out to Cody out there in Bel-Air. Mm-hmm. Bringing it. P.J. Hall was – he flashed. I don't know – like, I don't know if P.J. Hall's a guy you want in more because we saw Jacob Martin get a sack too. Mm-hmm. We also saw Jacob Martin get punked a lot against the run. Well, go look at that Clyde Edwards-Helaire touchdown. He got sucked in, and then he had that fake hustle dive at the end of the knees. So is P.J. Hall a guy that – needs to be playing more? Is P.J. Hall a guy that's kind of like a flash player,
hey,
like a Jacob Martin?
If I'm opening practice up on, are they going to practice tomorrow? I don't know. Whenever they practice again, I'm Bill O'Brien. I'm saying, guys, we're still playing for our jobs here, man. You gotta have some guys that can step up and make some plays. If P.J. Hall's the best, get his ass out there. You know.
I mean, they liked him. I mean, they got rid of Angelo Blackson, so we'll see what happens with P.J. Hall. Stacked football this weekend, though. Let's go ahead and go Friday Future Trip, and let's make it a season version, and let's make it a weekend version right now. Tripping balls here on In the Loop. All right, let's start out with the NFC East. NFC East champions, Dallas Cowboys. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Offense was already good last year. You got a better coach in Mike McCarthy than Jason Garrett. You added CeeDee Lamb. Leighton Vander Esch back on defense. Made all kinds of additions. I'm sorry. I know it's not popular around here, but the Dallas Cowboys win the NFC East, and the Dallas Cowboys are a contender to win the Super Bowl this year.
I have in the NFC East the Dallas Cowboys winning the division.
NFC West, I like Arizona. I like what they got going. Rams, don't know much about them right now. Seahawks, like it. I like Russell Wilson. I like DK Metcalf. I like Tyler Lockett. I like their offense. There's a lot to like about that offense, but the defense, no. There's a reason they traded for Clowney. Not feeling good. Shut up, Russell Wilson. I'm going to take the San Francisco 49ers to win that division for the second straight year.
I got the Seahawks. I think they've made enough moves to get it done, and I got the Seahawks winning the NFC West.
NFC North. You know, Green Bay won it last year. I'm going with the Minnesota Vikings. Gary Kubiak calling the plays. Dalvin Cook, one of the most underrated running backs in the league. Oh, by the way, they added Yannick Ngakoue. Danielle Hunter, he's out the first 3 weeks of the year. He's had 19 sacks combined the last 2 years, by the way. He's going to be opposite of Yon. I think that the Minnesota Vikings win the division. Give me the Minnesota Vikings in the NFC North.
I got the exact same team. I'm liking what the Vikings
are
doing.
You've always liked them.
Yeah, I have.
Who dat? Who dat's in the NFC South? Them Saints winning the division. That who dat is. So I'm going to go with the New Orleans Saints as I wrap up my division winners. Cowboys, 49ers, Vikings, Saints, division winners.
The New Orleans Saints will not even make the playoffs.
Oh,
I've
wow.
got the Tampa Bay Bucks winning the NFC South and the Atlanta Falcons finishing second and making a wild card.
Okay, so your NFC wild cards. Mine are the Tampa Bay Bucks, the Arizona Cardinals, and the Chicago Bears. I think the Chicago Bears defense is good. I think Mitch Trubisky, I think the bar is so low that he's going to be a pleasant surprise this year. He's not going to be in the same category as Mahomes and Watson, but I think the Bears make the playoffs. Tampa Bay, Arizona,
that's
Chicago
a bold statement right
are
there.
My wild card teams.
I just mentioned the Falcons. I have the Falcons. I have the Cardinals as a wild card team, and I have the Eagles.
Boy, the South is serious.
South is serious.
South is very serious. Let's go to the AFC. AFC East, Patriots. It's usually their division. Not this year. Give me the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills win the AFC East. They dethrone the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick.
I'm with you. I think Allen's going to have a really big year. The Bills finished first place in the AFC East.
The West, you got a taste of it yesterday. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Kansas City Chiefs. They win the West. They're getting all kinds of breaks. The Raiders lost Tyrell Williams. for the season. The Chargers lost Derwin James for the season. The Broncos just lost Von Miller. It was the Chiefs' division before. It's the Chiefs' division even more.
What he said. I'm with you on that, Chiefs.
AFC North, Baltimore Ravens. Enough said. Nothing else more to add to that.
Ravens, I'm with you.
AFC South. I'm going to go with the Tennessee Titans. I think the Clowney, I think the Clowney signing puts them over the top.
I'm a lover, man.
Give me the Tennessee Titans winning the AFC South.
Give me the Indianapolis Colts winning the AFC South.
I have the Colts as a wild card along with the Pittsburgh Steelers and three teams from the AFC North. I wasn't drinking it last year, Figgy. I'm drinking it this year. Cleveland Browns in the playoffs. Give me the Browns. Give me the Steelers. Give me the Colts as my wild card.
I almost did the exact same thing. But I have two out of the AFC North. And the second one is the Browns, Figgy. I think the Browns are going to have a nice year. Browns, Titans, and how about those New England Patriots?
Oh, wow.
Still make the playoffs.
Belichick, coach of the year if that happens.
Yeah.
If that happens, you got to give him coach of the year. Super Bowl matchup, OG. Give me that Super Bowl matchup. Give it to me.
I don't want to.
I don't want to either.
I don't want to.
I don't want to either. I really don't. I really, really don't.
I don't want to.
All right, for the OG John Lopez, for Figgy Fig, being the best of what they do. It's been another edition of In the Loop.
I have the Kansas City Chiefs backing it up with another Super Bowl championship over the Dallas Cowboys.
I have the exact one. I have the exact same. I have the exact.
Over the blah, 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 Cowboys.
I have the exact same Super Bowl result. I have the exact same matchup. Chiefs Cowboys. Is my pick.
Yep. You want some real tripping now?
Yeah, let's go tripping over the weekend. A lot of football games. This is the real Friday future tripping for the weekend. J-Lo.
See if my role continues. I'm on a 3-week run here.
Yeah, you are, and I'm not.
Kyler Murray to DeAndre Hopkins for a touchdown. Twice.
Two touchdowns for Nuke.
Two touchdowns for Nuke. How would that make you feel?
Make a team better. T-E-A-M.
Yeah, that would help.
Man, that one hurts. Oh, my gosh. Pain. Two touchdowns?
Twice.
Can you just say once? Oh, man.
Could you imagine?
Richard Sherman versus Newt.
I feel like that pick is more for the show than anything. Just so Monday morning will be lit, as the kids say.
All right, Sunday Night Football right here on Sports Radio. Monday Night Football, final game of week one right here on Sports Radio 610. Jadeveon Clowney in uniform for the Tennessee Titans. Jadeveon Clowney with a sack. Jadeveon Clowney gets a sack. He
love you guys, man.
Lock.
Y'all have a good day, man. Enjoy yourself.
What did I write down?
You said Jadeveon Clowney, a sack, and a TFL.
And a TFL.
So we have a Clowney sack. We have two Hopkins touchdowns. What a great effing weekend.
Monday. We're going to be hearing, whether it's on social media or maybe even on this show, who do you think should be Rookie of the Year? Clyde Edwards-Helaire or Jonathan Taylor? I think Taylor's going to have a big coming out party as well.
For the Indianapolis Colts?
Yeah.
I think the Jags actually make it very interesting with the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Colts beat the Jags on a last second field goal from Ricardo Blankenship.
There's your boy.
Former Georgia
That's your guy.
Kicker with the big ass black glasses. That's my prediction. Jags hang in there. Jags do their thing. But the Colts end up winning it on a last second field goal from the man with the big specs, Ricardo Blankenship.
I'm glad you said specs. Rockets ousted. They're done. They're mailing it in.
I co-sign.
Which is Rockets inexcusable.
Done. Rockets done.
Yeah.
Rockets done. I can co-sign that. Astros get a split with the Dodgers. There will be a split.
I have a Dodgers-Astros take as well. Benches clear again. We will see benches clear.
Dude, Astros ain't got time for that.
Yeah, well.
Astros ain't got time for that. I'm
just telling you what's going to happen. See that mural they put by Dodger Stadium?
Joe Kelly.
Joe Kelly with the pouty face right by Dodger Stadium.
Pretty pathetic. Pretty embarrassing. That's Friday Future Tripping here on In the Loop. Let's help the kids again. Okay. Let's help the kids again. Shout out to Shout out to the Barbara Bush Literacy Foundation. Done so much around the community. 61% of kids with from low-income families, they don't have a single book in their home, mm-hmm. which means when they go to school, they're already fighting an uphill battle. 60%. It's estimated that 60% of kids do not know what they should know going into school. So they're basically just they're going downstream or upstream. They're going upstream. J-Lo, shout out to the Bite Me podcast. It's not good for the kids, and we need to help the kids. Loopholes, you've been awesome. We've gotten a lot of donations, but we want to reach our goal of 100,000. We're creeping up there, but we need your help.
J-Lo, we are creeping up there. Drop 100 if you can. You know, I'm not asking you to do something you can't do.
30's okay. 30 gets some six books. 30 gets some six books. Not everybody has those big pockets like OG.
30 is more than fine. Six books that they choose. Imagine the good feeling that they're going to have being able to pick and finally get those books. $30 will get a kid six books. Drop a hundo if you can. All you have to do is text HTX Reads to 41444. And it's a piece of cake from there. I did it earlier this week, and it just took me less than a minute to make that donation.
HTX Reads 41444. You're going to get the kids some books. Again, $30 gets six books to a young man or woman that they look. And you get kids excited about reading.
Yeah.
And that's really good. There's a lot of stuff kids get excited about that's counterproductive. Let's help them out and read. Give out the number again, J-Lo.
That is HTX Reads. That's what you text. To the number 41444.
Shout out to all the Loopholes. If you listen, you are a Loophole. It's the first Football Friday of the year, and oh my gosh, it is so, so good. It's the first in-season Football Friday.
Felt good today, man. Even though we were a little upset, a little bothered by what happened, man, it was good to have this show.
And again, it's not necessarily that the Texans lost to the Chiefs. It's how they lost to the Chiefs. The run defense is something to keep an eye on. And next week, Reaction Monday, we're going to be looking ahead to the Baltimore Ravens. Baltimore Ravens going to be coming to town. They got to face the Cleveland Browns this week. We'll see how that goes. But we all remember what happened the last time the Texans faced the Baltimore Ravens. It was not pretty, but that was in Baltimore. Get a chance to host them right there at NRG.
Yeah.
We've seen Bill O'Brien do it before where you think the sky is falling and then his team comes out, his team responds. Would it be the craziest thing in the world if that did happen? I don't think so.
No.
If I had to predict the betting line, though, I would probably say it's going to be like a 3-point spread or something like that.
It might be Baltimore's favorite. And I definitely don't want to get out of here and set it up for Clinton's show without thanking you and Figgy Fig and Armin Williams, our program director, and everybody at Sports Radio 610 and Intercom Radio, and particularly Sarah Frazier. For help me out. Had a tough Wednesday. Lost my mother Wednesday. You guys picked up the slack, and it is very much appreciated.
Well, we appreciate you. And I'll say, man, like not very many people get to live a full life like your mom did. She got to see you succeed. She got to see her three grandkids succeed. So she might be going to a better place, but when someone lives a life like that and gets to enjoy the benefits of it, they never really die. I think she lives for you.
I told my kids, her work here is done. She did it all. Appreciate it, you guys.
Shout out to all the Loopholes. Thank you very much for listening. Football Friday continues for the OG John Lopez, for Figgy Fig being the best in the world at what he do. This has been another edition of In the Loop. We'll talk to you on Reaction Monday. But in the meantime, Clint Sterner and Ron Hughley are next.
Thank you, Peggy.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.